having a fight, have the guts to have a fight to take back your own political party. It's easier than creating a third party in this impossible system.
Okay, I think you made Thanks your point. You made your point. And I think the show is ending right now. So thank you for your call. You've certainly given us something to think about. You know, we got elections coming up. Figure out what are you going to do? It's worth thinking very, very deeply about. So thank you all for calling in. There's some really interesting calls. And let's do this again sometime. Stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station, because you're not going to hear this anywhere else on the dial.
I'm Monica Beamer.
And I'm Mike Crenshaw. We're KBOO's new co-station managers. We're excited to be a part of the KBOO community. We're starting a new weekly feature on Wednesdays at 5:45 p.m. News from the Boo will give you an inside look into what's happening at KBOO, including upcoming events, station news, special programming, and future goals and plans for the station.
Be sure to tune in this Wednesday and every Wednesday after the KBOO Evening News for News from the Boo, an insider look into your community radio station.
And this is KBOO, and we're going to go straight to Flashpoints this morning. Thanks for tuning in today. KBOO Portland.
Flashpoints, the death from Israel's slaughter in Gaza tops 600, including 150 children. We'll feature a frontline report on the latest Israeli attack on a school and a hospital surgery ward that killed two nurses and two patients. We'll also be joined by Professor Richard Falk, former UN Rapporteur for Human Rights in Israel and the Palestinian Territories. Pedro Reyes of KPFA and the Mission Cultural Center joins us to talk about the kids coming over the border as he did some 20 years ago. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, California, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we go back to the Gaza Strip where the violence, the Israeli violence against a lockdown civilian population continues. And we're joined by independent reporter Noor Hafezan. Noor is based in the Gaza Strip. She's been around the city. She's been watching what's been going on. And she does join us now from Gaza. Noor, it's good to have you with us on Flashpoints. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, why don't you begin by giving us a sense of what, an overview of what the situation looked like today in terms of the bombing, the war. Tell us something about where you have been and what you saw.
Okay. As a journalist, you know, I have to go out to the streets and I have to report and film and do piece to cameras and show people what is happening here. So if we talked about today, I've seen a lot today. I've went to the hospital. I saw people arriving to Shifa Hospital, killed and injured children, almost like 15 children I saw today at the time I was in the hospital. There has been many Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip today, mostly attacking groups of people who are like sitting around like in front of their homes or walking in the street. Also, there has been several attacks on buildings, like residential buildings where families and civilians are living. I can tell you that I've seen a lot today. And also, even when I go back home, where I think my home is in a safe area, as it's in central Gaza City, it's not even safe because the aerial bombing continues, and there's like many attacks around us. So the sound of explosions and everything like this also affects us when we are in our homes, because we keep on thinking that we're going to receive, you know, this call that's going to tell us to evacuate our homes because they're going to target it or something. And you keep on thinking that you're going to be homeless in 10 minutes or your roof is going to be hit by a first missile. So the situation is really bad in the Gaza Strip.
Well, let me now come back. Let's go back to the hospital. Tell us which hospital. And just to make sure that we understand, tell us some of the details. Describe in some detail some of the wounded, what you saw, what you smelled, what you felt there as you watched it.
It's emotional, you know. It's like I'm a good English speaker, but sometimes I feel that it's really hard to explain what I see or what I feel when I go to the hospital. Because it's such a sensitive place where you see all of these bodies arriving and all of these children, all of these people with like really critical injuries, you know, fractured legs, even people who were killed, you know, their heads are off. It's a very sad thing to see. It's like destroyed you emotionally in the heart. I remember back in 2009 when I started working as a journalist, I used to cry much, especially when I go back home. But after that war and after 2012 war and now this war, I became like emotionally really affected that I can't cry, but the pain is really bad in my heart. And what I smell, I don't know, meat, blood. This is what I smell.
Kids?
In the hospital.
Are there children? I guess that's the hardest part. The
children, babies. I mean, I even saw like a 6-month-old baby. Lately, like a week ago, like few, like days ago, 6-month-old baby, babies, children, women, girls who are my age, you know, youth.
And so you were at the hospital, and what else can you tell us in terms of which neighborhoods have been hit? What are some of the things, other things that happened today that we might not know about?
Well, as you know, the Gaza Strip is such a small place, and it's such a densely populated area. There's like 1.8 million people living here. And when we talk about areas or districts, it's like most of the areas around the border have been totally affected. People who live there evacuated their homes. The places that I cannot call it like the Israeli forces attacked homes there. I could only call it a massacre, because lately there was a massacre in Shijaiya district, and this is where I come from and where my family come from, Shijaiya district. And what happened was a massacre. Apparently the Israeli forces took the decision of erasing a whole neighborhood, a whole district, just because they think that there's rockets being fired from there. And it's really sad, because even when I went there, like yesterday and this morning, you can smell death, and you know that there's big people buried under these ruins, and the ambulances and the rescue teams cannot reach them. And it's really hard, and I don't know what to say. Many, many places have been affected in the Gaza Strip, in the north, in the south, eastern Gaza Strip. Almost 100,000 people have evacuated their homes just because they live in this district.
Now, talk a little bit of, you mentioned ambulances. My understanding is several ambulances were actually attacked and blown up, either trying to pick up people who are wounded or with wounded folks in the ambulance.
True. Basically, the IDF, the Israeli forces, told the paramedics and the people who work in the rescue teams that they cannot enter these places unless they coordinate with the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross. But what happened is that after this massacre has been committed and the rescue teams and the ambulances tried to go there to rescue people and to evacuate their bodies, the Israeli forces shelled on them. A paramedic was killed and two ambulances were totally burned. And since then, even people who work in the hospital are so scared to even go, even if they do have the coordination with the ICRC.
Now, you went back to your neighborhood where you grew up, where you come from, and did you say it was essentially erased? Was that the word that you used?
Yeah, literally, the homes are totally destroyed, burned. There's no streets anymore. And the first day when we went there, there was, bodies everywhere in the street, dead people who were killed in these Israeli attacks, women, children, babies, whole families have been killed there, and their bodies were just in the street. And I could not even imagine that was my family street, that was where my family came from. I couldn't believe that I walked that street before and it looked so fine, It was really hurtful.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're joined by independent reporter Noor Harazin. Noor, in terms of the people who are on the run, you said, I don't know how many thousands you said of people have been displaced. Where are they going? Is there a place for most people to go? And are they safe once they get wherever they're going?
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly the people who evacuate their homes seek shelter in the UN schools, because I don't know what to say, because they think that the UN blue sign will basically protect them. But this is not true, because yesterday, last night, and today, the Israeli tanks shelled on a Norway school, and the people who were living there evacuated.
They shelled a UN school? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, true. And I was there today, and I wanted to make a report about the attack of the Norway school. And when I was there with my crew, with my cameraman, and I was wearing the press vest and everything, they shelled again. They shelled the building that is next to the school, just next to the school when we were inside the school.
So they're attacking the United Nations, in essence, really.
Exactly, yeah. And this is not the first time, because they did that back in 2008 when they bombed the schools with white phosphorus. This is the school.
So you were there with your camera, and it was bombed after you arrived?
I was there with my crew, to report what happened last night when they attacked it for the first time. And when I was in the middle of my piece to camera, my stand-up, they attacked again. Yeah. And we had to leave, basically, because the residents there told us that maybe they are warning you to leave the place right now, I think. Yeah. So we had to leave.
And they would know. They have such surveillance in terms of the drones and all the equipment that they're using that they would know, essentially. They know where essentially all the journalists are. They know where that school is. It may very well have been the knowledge that you were there or that there was going to be a report. What was the response of the UN workers there? Did they respond? Did the U.S.
No.
Did the UN file a complaint or?
No, there has been no response from the UN about this attack of the school, like what happened yesterday. But let me just tell you that even more, something else, because this is also important, that also some people go evacuate to hospitals, and this is what I did also today, that I went to a hospital to cover what happened there, and also a hospital was attacked by at least 10 shots from an Israeli tank, and the operating room was totally off. Two nurses died and three patients also. So now not the UN schools, not the hospitals are safe. Another thing the churches in Gaza opened the doors for everyone who's living in a dangerous area to come and take shelter in the church. By what happened just today, like 5 hours ago, 6 hours ago, like today, they attacked the church and the people had to evacuate again. And so what I can tell you, I mean, there's no shelter in Gaza. There's no place where people can run and be safe, you know, because the UN schools have been targeted, the hospitals have been targeted, the mosques have been targeted, churches. I mean, I can't even tell you that there is a place safe in Gaza. But the families have no other choice, you know. They just take any place available.
And again, to be clear, so back to the hospital, so they hit the operating room or the emergency room?
Yeah, it's a hospital that is located in Nil Gaza. It's called Shuhada Al-Aqsa Hospital. And it's like a four-floor hospital. And they targeted the fourth floor and did affect that floor and the third floor too. The operating room was, the first floor was all for surgery, you know, like special surgery department. And yeah, the operating room was off. Three patients and two nurses died in this attack, and there has been like severe damage in the hospital.
So much for the Israelis' claims of pinpoint surgical strikes. The only surgery here is what happens after the strikes, and apparently here, nurses working in the surgery department were killed. It's a shocking situation.
And it's, you know what, it's not the first hospital, because they shelled and bombed a hospital like 3 days ago in eastern Gaza. It's called Wafa Hospital, and they told all the patients to evacuate it. And most of the patients who were in that hospital are like elderly people in coma. So it was, and there was even international activists inside that hospital. There was American people, there was people from Spain, people from Italy, people from